Clara? Clara, is it? My God, I almost didn't recognize you. And are you, I wanted to say, as a much more subdued version of Sele, the office flirt, smiled up at me. In my 5-inch heels, I now had the benefit of looking down at her. Our eyes met for a full second. All I could see were memories. Clara, another voice. It was the technical assistant, Winga. Heard you were around, but didn't believe it. It's been a while. I could barely get a word in edgewise as a handful of other people came forward to speak. What are you doing here anyway? Celeste spoke up irritably, sounding more like her old self. Well, I've come to work, I said. They gave you your old job back? Hallelujah! Shiny floors and cleaner offices, Winga said. I looked at them, waiting for my response. I decided to drop the bombshell. No, actually, I said, I have come to head this place. You see, I am your new boss. There was silence. Then, but you were sacked, was Sele's enraged response. Ignoring the uproar that ensued, I walked to my office. That was their problem. Mine had been sorted months back. Sitting on the big leather chair that was now mine, I let my mind wander back to the day the former manager, Ogasani, was arrested. The staff of the Ministry of Fates had been planning a strike. During lunch hour, as Ogasani drove off, Winga led Ogasani's personal assistant, Mekus, to the kitchenette. There they shared the bowls of food that Winga had earlier sent me to buy. Keep the change, Winga said when I had returned, knowing full well that there was nothing left to keep. Winga often claimed to pity the women folk, saying that there were so many of them with few men to go round. And his solution: as a service to humanity, I will use my time on earth to love them all. Mekus was his accomplice, forever doing things he felt Winga would approve of. That day, both men had been in the kitchenette when Mekus flung open the door. Clara! Clara, he yelled. Call everyone to come here. We have an announcement to make. Reluctantly, I disposed of the broom I'd been carrying and went on to do his bidding. You could hear the buzz as everyone piled into the room. My friends, began Winga. I'm glad you were able to make it, he said, as though they had walked 200 miles. I have noticed how hard you work every single day, he said, pounding his open palm against his fist. In a way, Winga spoke the truth. I mean, these people did work hard. Sele, for instance. When she was not flirting with Winga, she handled the front desk well. Mostly, she called her family and friends on that same phone she had been employed to man. Mekus usually waited for the boss to complete his 45 minutes of managing the Ministry of Fates before taking over. As soon as Ogasani left the office, Mekus would go into his office to watch TV and ransack the fridge. Winga, for his part, preferred to ignore the confines of his office and search for females to seduce. His current love interest was Bingbe. With her nose constantly in the air, however, it would be hard to catch her eye and give her one of his slow smiles. Word had it that he had been practicing that smile for a long time. Word also had it that it usually did the trick, but not just now. You put in so much effort with so little at the end of the month, Winga said, adding after a pause. What we need now is a salary increase. Yes, sir, chorused the crowd. So here's what we're going to do, he continued as the noise died down. When Ogasani returns, we will tell him to either increase our salaries or we go on strike. Broke into applause. just as the kitchen door burst open.
Waiter!
In ran Ogasani, his yards of babariga billowing behind him as he pushed through. Hot on his heels were two uniformed policemen, flanked by two others in mufti. Malam Sani Kasimu, thundered one of them. You are under arrest. You have been accused of money laundering and other dubious acts. Anything you say or do at this point can be used against you. So please behave, sir. I looked at Ogasani, trying to see whether I felt pity for him, but realized that I did not. I recalled all the times he had muddied my mopped floors, taken his bad mood out on me, and rained insults down on me right in the midst of office staff. Just some weeks before, he had been up to those tricks.
I gave you a job to do, and this is the thanks I get in return? So, in fact, as soon as we get a replacement, you are out of here. You are on your way out,
he said in accented English. Now handcuffed and sandwiched between two policemen, Ogasani had a resigned look on his face.
My people, help me! Help me!
Everyone stared at their shoes, as though noticing them for the first time.
Mekus! Hey, Mekus! Please, call my wife. Tell her what has happened.
With that, he was snatched through the doors and out of the office, never to be seen again. Within 36 hours, a new man, John Sekobi, was brought in to manage the ministry. Welcome, sir, greeted Sele, with a flutter of short lashes. If you need anything at all, please let me know. Mr. Sekobi grunted and walked into his office. In less than a week, he moved Sele from reception to the stockroom, replacing her with a new hire. Bimbo was sacked and Benga became the new personal assistant. Mekus became the new assistant accountant. Then Mr. Sekobi summoned me to his office. I have news for you, Clara, he said. My heart started to beat faster. I had visions of new clothes, a better apartment, and a good salary. We won't be requiring your services anymore. He looked at me with bespectacled eyes. The thing is, you're too qualified for this job. But, sir, I managed. I'm aware of the role you played in removing Malam Sani. Yes, sir, I started again. But short, because he spoke the truth, I did have a role. What role, you might ask? Well, I'll tell you. You see, nobody worked as hard as I did, not Ogasani. And yet, he wanted to sack me. I decided that if I was going down, it would not be alone. That's when I began a thorough search of the office. Lockers, drawers, and dustbins, you name it, I searched them all. It was a month before I found what I was looking for. Documents of blown up budgets and inflated salaries. Staff takeaway pay was only half of the stated sum. The rest went into Ogasani's pocket. Documents in hand, I went to the police, who joked that they were not the country's anti-corruption body, but they did give me a number to use. I felt I was liberated in doing so. But there was Mr. Sekobi telling me that I was sacked. I was still deciding on whether or not to cry when he said, it was a bold thing to do, which is why the ministry is sending you on a 6-month course. We need hard-working and honest people like you. When you return, he continued, a better job awaits you. When he had said a better job, I'd never suspected that it would be one like this. The knock at the door brought me back to the present. Without waiting for a response, Benga walked in. You're responsible for what happened to Ogasani, right? he said. There was a pause before he added, Clara, Clara, I didn't know you had it in you. He gave me a smile that did not reach his eyes and walked away, shaking his head. The news soon spread like wildfire, but strangely enough, I didn't care. I was more preoccupied with other things, like how my tastes had changed since I began my new job. The salary I was entitled to now seemed inadequate. Within 6 months, I'd acquired a house, a car, and a Swiss account. But then, what did you expect? Ogasani had left his mark on the Ministry of Fates. It would have been a waste not to follow in his footsteps.